Exodus 32, 1-6. The Golden Calf. And in this discourse, I want to address this, the cause. What brought about this golden calf? Let me read the passage. Exodus 32, 1-6. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Exodus 32, 1-6. The golden calf. The cause. Well, in one sense, it was Moses' delay. He was a long time from them up in the mountain. They didn't know what had happened to him. His absence, they felt it. When they saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered round Aaron and said, "Come, make us a god." So, it was Moses' delay. This was the trouble. It was Moses' absence. No, my friend. No, no, no. That was the occasion of it. That was the excuse. That was what they said. But their real motivation, the real cause, the root of the trouble, the heart of the trouble, was their hearts. Let me explain. Notice that they talk about Egypt. It comes up twice in this short passage. In verse 1, Moses brought us up out of Egypt. Yes, Egypt. Well, that's just a fact, yes. It says again, though, in verse 4, "Then they said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.'" Egypt. And now we're getting somewhere near the cause. You see, we've met this before. We've met it in Exodus 16, verses 2 and 3. The Israelites complained when Moses was among them. And what did they complain about? "You brought us out here from Egypt. Now, when we were in Egypt, we had pots of meat and food. We were happy in Egypt." Egypt, Egypt. Their hearts were back in Egypt. Their bodies had left Egypt, but their hearts were back there. Numbers 11:5. You get the same again. They talk about the garlic they had in Egypt, the onions, the leeks, the melons, the cucumber, the fish, all this. Look what we had back in Egypt. Their hearts are back in Egypt. Joshua put his finger on it, 24, verse 14. In his final discourse to the Israelites, he saw the carnality of the people, and he put before them a stark choice. Is it the Lord God for you? Is it the God of Israel? Or is it the gods of Egypt? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who are you going to serve? And in their hearts they were back in Egypt. Ezekiel 20, verse 8. Ezekiel 23, verse 8. And so on. Well on beyond these days. God says through Ezekiel, the idolatry of the children of Israel and Judah really was nothing else but their love of Egypt. They were going back into Egypt. The prophets repeatedly spoke about this. Do not go down into Egypt. Israel and Judah went back to Egypt looking for help. It'd be a broken cane. It's a splinter in your finger. But their hearts were in Egypt. Acts 7, verse 39 to 40. Stephen said about their hearts refusing God, rejecting God. God or Moses, Moses or God, is all the same. They rejected God through Moses, and they wanted their own works, their own way. They were willful. They were carnal. Oh, yes, the occasion was Moses' delay up in the mountain, but that wasn't the cause of it. That's just the occasion. The cause of it, in their hearts, they had turned back to Egypt. Let's cut to the chase. Let's get down to brass tacks here. It's the heart of the people that's wrong. It's food they want. It's fun they want. Do we not read here? Afterwards they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Verse 6. It's food. It's fun. Indeed, I know of a course that's offered to teach unbelievers the gospel, to introduce the gospel to people. And they advertise it as come and have some food and come and have some fun. And this is in the name of Christ and the gospel. You see, my friends, it's not just Israel of old. Yes, their idolatry, the nonsense of their idolatry, the sin of their idolatry stands out plainly, bluntly, boldly, starkly here. But you see, John finishes his first letter this way, 1 John 5:21. My dear children, my little children, believers, keep yourselves from idols. And the New Testament is full of idolatry, warnings against it, greed, gluttony, pride, lust, pleasures, worldliness, carnality everywhere. Romans 8, Galatians 5, keep ourselves from the world, keep ourselves unspotted, walking in a godly way, looking unto Christ. Our hearts are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's the hymns we sometimes sing. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Cowper taught us to sing, and I sing it. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. You see, my brother and sister, I address you as believers, fellow believers, those of you who are. As I look out on the scene today, I speak from the UK. I'm looking out on the Western scene. I don't know through all the parts of the world, but what I see is this. Worldliness is rampant in the name of Christ, in the churches, pleasure, fun, carnality, sin, self, rebellion. Oh, you say this is very harsh. I'm sure I'm putting people off listening to me. Well, so be it. I must speak my mind. 1 John 5:21, I've already quoted. This is not reserved to Israel, this idolatry. It isn't totem poles and statues, Bel and Nebo and Ashtoreth and all the rest of it, Baal. We have our gods, pleasure, pomp, money, power, influence, name, title. We copy the world. Oh, the churches of Jesus Christ need to hear this. The believers need to hear it. I need to hear it. Keep ourselves from idolatry. Whatever the excuse, worldliness in our hearts, Lord, root it out and give us a spirit all taken up with Christ. Unbeliever, this is your root cause too. You're an idolater. You worship self. You worship your own way, your own works, what you can do. You worship man in some way, some other man or yourself. Luther said the great Pope is self, not the man in the Vatican, but self. Jesus says, you will not come to me. You refuse. It's your heart. You're not willing. It's your will. It's your mind. It's your heart against God. The natural mind is enmity against God. It cannot be subject to God or his law. The natural man thinks the things of God and the spirit are foolishness. I'm quoting 1 Corinthians 2 and I'm quoting Romans 8. This is your problem, my friend. It's not local circumstances. It's not your upbringing or this or that or the other. Your heart. You refuse. We will not have this man to reign over us, the Lord Jesus. Let this episode of the Golden Calf speak today. The cause of this idolatry is the heart of man. Believer, let us look to God to give us a cleansed and purified heart, renewed heart. He has renewed us. He has given us a new mind. May we live according to the mind of the Spirit and walk away from the world, looking unto Jesus, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, looking full in his wonderful face, so the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. An unbeliever, is your heart that needs changing? Fall down before God, confess your sin. Repent, for God commands all men everywhere to repent, and that includes you. And cry out for mercy. And may the Lord bring you, not to submit to idols of your own making, but to submit to God in Jesus Christ by his Spirit. For this is the only way of salvation. May God speak to us through this passage. Exodus 32:1-6.